about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
because
we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. If you transgress, you need a mechanism for acknowledging the wrongdoing.
He's Art Markman.
He's Bob Duke.
And I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the benefits of confession.
There are lots of behaviors that are good for us in the short term, but they have bad long-term consequences for some reason, usually because they're going to tear at our social fabric in some way if we keep persisting in these behaviors, or because they're going to tear at our physical structure if we keep doing these things. And so the question is, how do you begin to overcome the temptation to do something in the short term that is not in your long-term best interest? And the most powerful emotional driver that we have to prevent us from doing the wrong thing in the short term involves guilt, which sets up a particular activity as something that we absolutely should not do for moral reasons.
And I think we have to distinguish between feelings that are rightly described as guilt and feelings that are rightly described as fear, right? Because there are many situations where you might transgress some societally defined boundary and you don't really feel guilty about doing it. You're just afraid you're going to get caught. That's a different feeling, right? That's a different emotional reaction because you don't feel necessarily bad about the fact that you engaged in some behavior that was inappropriate, as you define it. It's that you engaged in this behavior and now you're scared to death that someone's going to find out you're going to be punished for it. That's a different deal, right? And I think we need to make the distinction. When we're talking about guilt, we're talking about an internal feeling of unhappiness as a result of some action that we've taken or not taken.
Generally speaking, guilt is an internally directed emotion and it's got its close cousin shame, which is more externally directed. Mm-hmm. Both feel bad. Shame has an additional social component to it, which is feeling bad because on top of everything else, there are other people who know about the transgression.
Which brings up sort of an interesting connection to the idea of confessing, right? Because now many confessions are about things that are entirely internalized. I mean, there's nothing external about it, right? And when you go to a formal confession in a religious institution, or you confess to a close friend that you did something that you wish you hadn't done or failed to do something you thought you should have done. Those things, I think, remind us that there are other human beings who actually know about what we've done and they're still talking to us.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I mean, we're not now excluded on because of this thing. There's I think that's part of the feeling better part, is that now someone else knows, that person still kind of reassures me that I'm not doomed forever and I can move on to the next thing, whatever that is.
And there's another piece to it as well, which is that there's a tendency for people who've done something for which they feel guilty to ruminate on that. And we'll talk about this idea of rumination, of kind of chewing on an idea over and over again. And of course, when you have something that you feel guilty about and you continue to think about it over and over, it perpetuates that feeling of guilt.
And often intensifies it.
Because it feeds on itself. Yeah. It creates this kind of positive feedback loop. By talking about it with someone else, this creates several potential benefits, right? So one is there is this other person who knows about it, which means that if you continue to ruminate about it, you can go back to them and talk about it to them again and help them to help you to break the cycle. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, part of the reason that we ruminate on these things is because they have this way of tearing at disrupting our thought process. And so by talking about it with someone else, which helps to create a story around that, it helps to weave that event back into our life story, which makes it less likely to be something that causes us to ruminate again in the future.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, it helps to normalize that event a bit. So yes, it's true that every once in a while, somebody manages to commit a transgression that is so heinous that no one on the face of the planet has ever done it before. But generally speaking, we're just a member of a very large club of transgressors. And so that helps us to come to grips with the fact that we are not always able to live up to the moral standards that we set ourselves, which makes us a member of the human race.
Yeah.
And therefore the failures of our ability to control ourselves in particular situations shouldn't become debilitating.
And when you think about the things that we aspire to in raising children, for example, and the intentions and the hopes that we have for them, is that they will do the right thing, even if, when it may, as we define it, even when they may personally benefit from doing not the right thing. And that's a difficult thing to teach. But one of the things that guilt provides, right, again, is the incentive that if you do transgress whatever the boundary happens to be, guilt ensues. Well, now there's something I feel compelled to take some action to assuage the guilt, whether it's confessing to the person I've, you know, offended in some way and apologize. And now an association's developed between this action that causes the guilt and the guilt, which is now negative, right? And so now that feels bad to me now in a way that it didn't before, perhaps I've experienced that. And I think we should probably say too, there are some innate aspects of human functioning that create guilt that don't have to be taught by anybody, right? I mean, our species could not have survived without it. And one of the interesting things to me about when religious believers talk to non-believers, talk to atheists or even agnostics, the idea is, well, if we took away the threat of punishment, you know, after death, I mean, everybody would just go berserk. I mean, why would anybody do the right thing? And of course, the answer is because that's not why they're doing the right thing. It's not to avoid the punishment that's in the unforeseeable and probably unimaginable future. But there are feelings right now that are influencing our behavior. And were those feelings not present, our species would never have survived.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of gift giving with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. And make sure you never miss an episode. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.